Hey y'all, you're listening to
Twisted Truth, a true crime podcast
brought to you by
Emily
and Alyssa.
Today I'll be talking about an 8-year-old girl named Victoria who was kidnapped and murdered. Victoria Stafford was born on July 15th, 2000 to parents Tara McDonald and Rodney Stafford. Tori spent her early years in Woodstock, Ontario, it's in Canada, with her mother and older brother Darren.
You said Ontario, it's obviously Canada.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if you knew that.
I'm good with geographic, just not names.
With her older brother Darren. Rodney and Tara had separated shortly after Tori was born. Both parents battled with drug addiction, and this led to a tumultuous upbringing for Tori and Darren. When things weren't going well at home, they would spend time with their grandmother. The family moved around frequently, which meant Tori and Darren often changed schools before settling into their current surroundings, so they would never be able to make friends. They were moving around all the time. Money was also an issue for this family of three. Tara would sometimes have to pawn the children's toys for extra cash. Yeah, could you imagine having to take your kids' toys and pawn them? She hoped it didn't always happen, but she tried to get the toys back from the pawn shop after the month. After she got paid.
I mean, that's understandable. As long as she wasn't selling them for, like, drug money, yes.
Yeah.
But if you have to choose food over toys, you gotta make that choice.
I get it, but could you imagine having to make that choice?
Dude, it's gonna be fucking hard.
Yeah.
I felt guilty buying that $50 toy for Blakey and then feeling like I needed to return it because he needed a new car seat. And I was like, new car seat or $50 toy? I don't know.
Despite all of this, Tori was still said to be a bright and bubbly child. She loved to play and watch the Disney Channel. Tori was also very close with her older brother, Darren. On April 8th, 2009, 8-year-old Tori went to school at Oliver Stevens Public School. The family had recently moved to a house that was just a short walk away from the children's school. This meant that the two kids could walk home from school together without Tara having to go pick them up. This was the plan for that day. However, 11-year-old Darren wanted to walk his friends home after school.
So, how old is she? What's the age gap between
them? She's 8, he's 11.
Which is still pretty young ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like what Aspen and Skylar ages?
Yeah. Not currently, but at some point, yes.
How old is Skylar?
Skylar's 12, she's 10.
So like a year ago.
Yeah. Well, 2 years ago.
And when did you start leaving them home alone? Like a year?
Last year.
So he was 11, she was 9. Yeah.
Okay.
They aren't home alone there. Tara is at the house. They are just walking from the school to the house, and it's like a block away from the school. When I grew up, I mean, I walked very far
to get to my mother-ass neighborhood by walking through bayous.
Yeah, no, I probably walked about 20-something blocks to get to my school from my house.
Fuck, I was walking main streets. Just
my school was under a major highway.
If I had a fucking bike, dude, I'm hitting cities.
So, super not out of the ordinary that they were walking home.
No, but...
But
yes.
Darren wanted to walk home with his friends after school that day. As the friends' houses could be seen from the schoolyard, Darren thought that he could walk them home and then head back to the school in time to meet up with Tori so they could walk home together. When Darren arrived back at the school, it was about 10 minutes later, Tori was nowhere to be found. Darren stayed there for a couple minutes waiting to see if she would come out of the school and maybe she was stuck inside or something, but after no sign of her, Darren assumed that Tori didn't want to wait for him and had walked home by herself.
Why didn't she just fucking go with him to walk his friends home?
Because he got out of school first and he was with his friends and he wanted to walk them to their house and she wasn't out of school yet. So he thought that he could, since they could, you could stand in the schoolyard and look right at their house. That's how close it was. He thought that he could walk with them, drop them off at their house, and then go back to the school before Tori came out. Not the case. He went home alone, expecting to find his sister at the house when he got there. When he entered the house, he realized that Tori was not there. Darren went to his mother, who was at the house, and told her what happened. After telling his mother about Tori, Darren got on his bike to go look for his baby sister himself. Unfortunately, she was nowhere to be seen. Could you imagine the guilt?
I know.
Tara began calling all of Tori's friends' houses, thinking that maybe she had walked home with one of them. Tara also called her mother to tell her what was going on. After finding out that Tori wasn't with any of her friends, she was reported missing at 6:04 p.m. by her grandmother. And school got out at 3:30 that day, so it's been 2.5 hours that she's been gone. Police arrive at the house and start to question Tara about the day's events. The fact that Tara wasn't the one to report her daughter missing raised suspicions for the police, as well as the amount of time it took to file the missing persons report. Although, I don't know, 2.5 hours. I mean,
dude, it's... I would have been safe rather than sorry to just, if my kids miss, you, no, no, okay, I'm gonna call, and then I'm gonna start making those calls.
The police launched a search for the missing 8-year-old, and news stations began broadcasting the disappearance. The area was on high alert for the little girl, and parents became concerned that someone could be out there looking for another child to take. Oliver Stevens Public School was closed for 5 days while the investigation was underway for fear of another child going missing. They closed the whole school down, so kids weren't able to be taken off their grounds. Police questioned everyone they could think of about Tori's disappearance. With no leads or evidence, it seemed like the little girl had just vanished. Police gained access to CCTV footage from a camera facing the school's entrance. On this grainy footage, timestamps 3:32 p.m., they were able to see Tori walking side by side with a woman away from the school. The little girl seemed happy and comfortable with this woman, leading police to believe that this was someone Tori knew well.
Ooh, yeah, I was just thinking that. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking maybe it's like a teacher or somebody that knew her. It's like, hey, where's your brother? Oh, he's not here. Mm-hmm. Was that what happened?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm playing detective right now.
Police also noticed that the woman bore a striking resemblance to Tori's mother, Tara. Tara had been making news appearances during the days following Tori's disappearance, and she had been gaining some significant attention from the public for her behavior. Some accused Tara for not seeming sad enough or worried enough about her missing daughter. I'm going to play some of these interviews for you.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
Have you heard of this before?
I don't think I have.
I have never heard of it before. It's just a random find.
And I don't like feeling like I'm in control.
In control?
Of, like, the story. Like, I'm not liking the anticipation. Oh. Because now I'm, like, my heart's racing. Like, where is this child? Because most of the stories that you've done, like, the Elizabeth Smart one, like, it was automatically introduced that this is the father. Like, he's the one doing this. Whereas this one... I'm not getting any clues, and I don't like it.
You're not going to for a while.
I hate you.
Okay, so these are some of the interviews.
That's the mother?
Yes.
Yesterday you mentioned that it could be a man dressed up as a woman. What?
There's possibilities. Like, I mean, I just... The walk, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. It's a possibility. It's just something that I thought, like, you know, if I was going to steal a child, I would not go out dressed like I normally am dressed. You know, I wouldn't... I would do everything I could to try to throw off. Like, I don't think they even realized that there was a camera there.
It doesn't matter how long. We're still going to maintain hope. She's going to come home. It doesn't matter if it's a week or a month. We're going to find her no matter where she is. We're going to find her and bring her.
They're looking everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, it's not comforting, but I mean, they're looking everywhere that they possibly can.
Sarah, when you think of your daughter, how do you think she's holding?
I guarantee she's frustrated. And she's a mommy's girl, and she's missing her mom.
I don't like how she did the interview with her sunglasses.
The sunglasses was your problem?
Yeah, it's very insincere.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, all of it was very insincere. You can tell by just her face. She very much reminded me of Chris Watts doing the interviews about his wife. His, like...
Very nonchalant, not worried, no cares in the world. Like, they're doing what they can.
Yes, which... also resonated with the public.
So clearly this woman is fucking guilty.
Well, hold please. Things only got worse for Tara when she did interviews with Tori's father, Rodney Stafford. You could tell that the tensions between the pair were very high.
I'm assuming one was a concerned parent and one was not.
In one interview, Tara is asked a question about the rumors and speculation regarding her potential involvement in the disappearance, and she answers that no one is focusing on her daughter and are creating stories where they did not exist. However, Rodney then steps in and gives his opinion on what Tara has just said. And I'm going to play some of the interviews between
the dad and
the mom. And the mom together.
This should be interesting.
They're not paying attention to the fact that there's a child missing and nobody's even...
No, see, that's the thing. They are, though. They might be saying all this stuff out on Facebook, whether it's good, bad, or anything. It's keeping the story going. And it's got to stay out there some way. If it's got to be a negative stuff out on the internet, whatever. It's keeping it out there. We know Tori's not home, as long as people know that.
Do you feel like the focus on your family and on your friends will help bring Tori home at all?
No. Because I know that my friends would not do anything like this. I know that anybody in my family would not do something like this.
How can you guarantee that, though? You can't say
I
that.
I guess I can't guarantee it, but you don't want to think for a second that anybody.
Because to me, any one of these people standing right here could have our daughter, and they're filming us just for the fun of it.
Yeah, you do have trust issues with everybody. Extreme trust.
Way to make this story about y'all's relationship. And not the fucking child.
Yeah. So Rodney believes that no publicity is bad publicity in the search for his missing child, which I agree. As long as people have her name in their mouths, they're
talking
looking for
about
her.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
He wants the story to stay out there and fresh in everyone's minds, where Tara seems to want this publicity shut down. Although it is easier for Rodney to have this stance, as he's not the one being accused of having something to do with his daughter's disappearance.
That doesn't matter.
I'm going to play another interview of the pair. This one is in regards to question about Tara's lack of emotion for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not the kind of person that can come out here and cry for the cameras every single day. And like I've said before, if you guys want me to call you back when I'm in my home and I'm bawling my eyes out and I'm at my worst, if that'll make people feel better and maybe get some compassion out of them, then maybe I should start doing that.
So what are you kind of saying? Because I was crying and showing my emotions and stuff, I'm behind this?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying
that's the way I took what you just said.
No, I'm saying that people get angry because I don't come out here and I can't cry in front of cameras. And so people are holding that against me and saying that, you know, she's acting this way, so she must have something to do with it.
Sorry, this is making me really frustrated, Tara, because this is your daughter. It doesn't matter who should be standing in front of you. I could have the world standing here and I would cry. I wouldn't care. Tori is missing.
I'm not going to stand here and fight with you about it, okay?
You know what? From now on, any of these press conferences, okay, if you want to do them, continue them. I will do mine elsewhere because, no, you are showing a total lack of support for your daughter.
You know what? You want to talk about a lack of support for my daughter. Where the hell were you for the last 9 years?
Okay.
Where were you for the last 9 years?
Check every one of these cameras, every one of these media, every one of those police
officers. You've been at them now, but where were you for the last 9 years?
I have told them everything from the beginning. Yeah, walk away like usual, Tara.
Rodney, can you come back?
Oh.
Yeah. But you can tell he's very much, I want my daughter found. And she's, it seems more preoccupied with arguing with him, or trying to make herself not look guilty. Whereas he's like, I don't care what people say, I want my kid.
I don't care what people think, yeah. I'm gonna wear whatever emotion I'm feeling at that time, and yeah, I'm sad my fucking kid is missing, which is an understandable emotion.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I don't like that either, because there was a, like, Casey Anthony, she did that same shit. Like, I'm sorry I'm not crying every fucking day. It's like, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, if you could see behind closed doors or whatever, like.
Y'all aren't there when I'm crying in the bathroom.
I mean, but people react to things differently. They do. Some people are a catatonic, I would be a catatonic mess. There are some people that just wouldn't. I'm just saying.
There are some people that would just dye their hair while their child's missing and maintain their fucking appearance than...
People react to things differently.
Okay. If you say so.
So after this interview, people took Rodney's attitude towards Tara to believe that he thought she was involved, which only made the rumors about her worse.
Good.
Police, taking into account Tara's possible involvement, still conducted their investigation as normal. On April 12th, 4 days after Tori was last seen, Tara contacted the police about the woman on the CCTV camera footage. She told police that she believed the woman on the camera was 18-year-old Terry Lynn McClintic.
McClintic?
Yeah, what?
Nothing. I don't like that name.
Okay.
Miss McClumdick, get over here.
McClintic.
McClintic. Ugh. It sounds like men lick dick. I don't like that. Am I wrong?
I'm ignoring you.
Hey, did they ever check out her alibi for that day? Like, did they ever...
She was at home. Her son went home and she was there. She was working for her.
But what happened before that?
I don't know.
To completely...
She was just at home.
Mm. At home.
Terry was an acquaintance of Tara's, one who had previously sold her drugs. Police looked into Terry Lynn and found that she had an unrelated outstanding warrant and arrested her.
What?
Give up your drug dealer? This woman is... Go on.
Okay. So, Terry had a warrant that was out first, so they arrested her on that warrant.
And that's the mom.
No, this is Terry Lynn. This is the person, the one who had sold her drugs, that she said...
Terry and Tori.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no. Tori is the daughter. So it's Tara, Tori, and Terry.
Y'all hear that?
Terry, Tori, and... Tara's the mother, Tori is the daughter, Terry is this acquaintance that Tara says is the woman
that,
on the
that
CCTV.
That got drugs from.
Yeah, one time.
One time.
Once in custody, investigators began to question her about her whereabouts on April 8th. Terry denied any involvement, but police were still suspicious, as she did fit the description as the woman in the CCTV footage, and held her in jail on the warrant charge in order to continue questioning her. Mm. Yeah, don't ever be suspicious in like a suspicious thing when you have a warrant out for you.
It's already bad. She's a drug dealer. Yeah. But...
At 18. Over the next 30 days, police listened to all of Terry's phone calls and kept track of everyone who was visiting her in jail. One of her frequent visitors was a man named Michael Rafferty, Terry's boyfriend. Well, she called him her boyfriend. He had other things to say.
One of those commitment issues?
Very much. So he was notorious for cheating on women, being with random women. His entire romantic history was that. Police asked Michael if he wouldn't mind answering some questions about Tori's disappearance. So one of the times that Michael went to visit Terry, police stopped him and was like, hey, can you come answer some questions about Tori's disappearance?
Right.
Throughout the questioning, Michael remained calm and composed. Since police had no evidence on Tori's case, they let Michael go without further questions. This is gonna shock you.
I'm shocked already.
You ready?
I'm shooketh.
On May 20th, 28-year-old Michael Rafferty was charged with first-degree murder, and 18-year-old Terry Lynn McClintock was charged with being an accessory to murder for the abduction and suspected murder of Tori Stafford.
Just out of the blue?
Shortly before the arrests, Terry Lynn had requested to speak to investigators. When police arrived to interview her again, while she's in jail, she offered an entirely different version of events. Terry Lynn told police that on the morning of April 8th, she and Michael had a very disturbing conversation about kidnapping a young girl. Terry Lynn said Michael was goading her repeatedly, saying things like, you're not going to do it and you don't have the balls. For some bizarre reason...
You're right, I don't.
Yeah. For some bizarre reason, instead of telling Michael he was insane and that she would of course never do something like that, Terry Lynn decided to prove him wrong.
Oh, how noble of her.
Terry Lynn went to Tori's school and waited for the first girl to walk out. This happened to be Tori. She insisted that, had she known how things were going to end, she would have never gone through with it. I have absolutely no idea what she thought was going to happen.
And I'm sorry, but if you're going to kidnap a kid, and this, none of it is okay, why would you do it to somebody that you know?
She didn't know Tori. She sold drugs to her mother once, but she did not know Tori. She did not know this girl. Mm. But, yeah.
I don't know if I like this, because I still feel like the mom's guilty, but if this woman's guilty, then I still think the mom's a piece of shit, for the record. Just putting that out there.
Noted. But I just cannot believe that she's like, if I knew how things were going to end, I wouldn't have done it.
Because nothing starts good with kidnapping a child.
You are kidnapping an 8-year-old girl, and you're like, this will be fine.
It's just a kidnap. Well, we're just going to kidnap her and then release her into the wild?
I have no fucking idea. Release her into the wild?
I mean, that's about as innocent as kidnapping can be.
I have no fucking idea. I mean, she's 18. Maybe she's just real fucking stupid.
She clearly is.
I.
And the boyfriend's 28?
28, yeah.
Okay, go on with this obscene story.
Terry Lynn approached Tori and started talking to her about... puppies.
Not puppies.
I thought it was really funny when we brought them in here. I was like, my story involves puppies. Anyways, Terry Lynn approached Tori and started talking to her about puppies, offering for Tori to go with her to see them.
Isn't this like the most, like,
overused?
Stranger danger 101? Yes. Like, if a stranger offers you candy, just say, hey, I have some puppies. Do you want
to... Yeah. What? Yeah, well, that's what happened in the
The case you want to do, the three girls that got kidnapped. Castro.
Yeah. Ariel Castro.
Ariel Castro. That's what happened. He told the girl that he had a puppy and she was going to come get him. Yeah, very overused, the puppy thing, but it works.
But that was a little bit different because she knew this him, guy. Yeah.
Well, for this, Tori obviously felt like Terry Lynn was not a threat. She's an 18-year-old girl talking to her about puppies. It's not the typical stranger danger that you're told. Yeah, an old man asking you to come with them. This is an 18-year-old girl telling you about puppies.
Man, I hate women.
Yeah.
This woman. Go on.
So anyways, Tori agreed that she would go with and look at the puppies. Terry led Tori down the road towards Michael's car where he was waiting. He exited the vehicle and pushed Tori inside once she got close. As they drove, Michael was listening to the radio for any broadcasts about Tori's disappearance. They made two stops, first a gas station and then at a Home Depot. Terry Lynn went in and Michael stayed in the car with Tori. Terry Lynn claimed Michael forced her to go inside and buy a hammer and garbage bags.
Had I known.
I know.
Home Depot, please call police.
When asked why she didn't notify police or hide out in the store, Terry said she had considered not going back to her car but didn't want to leave Tori alone with Michael. Does not answer the question. Well, doesn't answer the question why you didn't fucking call police or tell, hey, excuse me.
You've already left him there alone.
Person in the store, there's a child that's been kidnapped in my car. Could you call someone? I mean, there's so many things she could have done.
I'd rather be charged with kidnapped than fucking murder.
Murder, yeah. Once she got back to the car with the items, they drove out to a rural forest.
That'd be kind of funny explaining to police. Why'd you kidnap? It was a dare.
Ugh. It literally was a dare, basically.
Practically. Why are people stupid? I'm sorry.
An 18-year-old drug dealer. She's already got stupid going for her. Just saying. Anyways, once she got back to the car with the items, they drove out to a rural forest, roughly 80 miles from Tori's home.
God damn.
Yeah. I'm gonna
It's like 2 hours away almost. It's like an hour and a half. Yeah.
I'm gonna play some of Terry Lynn's interview. It's very hard to hear her talk sometimes, but I'm going to play it.
Okay, because the problem you've got is you're going to have to try and get people to believe that you were only a few feet away from that car, didn't hear, didn't see, didn't notice anything about how Mike got blood all over him and Tori is nowhere to be seen, okay? And I think it goes right back to what you've said a few times. You didn't want to see it, okay? But that doesn't change the fact that you saw it, okay? And that's what you need to be truthful about. And I know it's hard to talk about. I know it's even harder to talk about than the sex part of it, okay? But you saw it, okay? You know you saw it. And we need to talk about that, okay? That's the last piece of the puzzle. You've been 98% honest with me. Okay, and I really do appreciate that, Terry, okay?
I understand where I violated.
Okay.
When I said I turned my head a lot, like, and that was the biggest deal. It's like, I'd see bits and pieces and that's it. Like, when I seen Mike with Tori on his lap, like, I turned my head because I didn't want to see it. I could hear her calling my name. I see him. I seen Tori on the ground.
Okay.
You should have been with me here, like...
Take your time. Okay.
And, like, every now and then I look back to see, like... In all reality, when I started, like, with that whole situation... We ended up in a laneway. Like, I look back every now and then just to see if, like, he was still with us. Like I could hear her, but I needed to know that she was, I knew she wasn't okay.
So Tori's on the ground.
You know, yeah, on the ground. I could hear her. Like, I could hear her. I see her on the ground. I turned my head away again. I could hear her, like, the sound of her voice, like, just grow fainter. And I can't, like, moaning.
Terry, let's talk about what you saw, okay? You can't have your back turned like that, right? You saw this, okay? This isn't a matter of what you heard, all right? Let's talk about what you saw, all right? You're concerned about this little girl, all right? You're not going to turn your back on her, all right? Okay, we need to talk about the things you saw. And this can come out quickly. You know what? You know how I look at this situations like this, Terry? Because people have to talk to me about these things quite often, okay? And I look at this as like taking off a Band-Aid, all right? You can do it quickly and get it done, right? Or you can just keep pulling it a little bit at a time, and that's what hurts. Right? That's what you're going through right now. We need to just tear that Band-Aid off.
It seemed like you kicked her a couple times, like... The garbage bag over her head. And I didn't have a clear, like, sight of Tori. Like, I could see Mike before I could see anything of Tori. Like, I would... Use the hammer.
Where did he hit her with the hammer?
The head. Okay. See the garbage bag over, so there wasn't afterwards. Like, that's pretty much what made it easiest. Like, he knew what he was doing. Like, that was the last time of me seeing Tori. Was when she was beside that car.
Terry, now we're 99%. Okay. You guys didn't leave Tori there, right? You took everything with you, including Tori, and you know that.
No, we didn't. Like, I know that.
Terry, listen to me for a second, okay? All right? That doesn't make any sense. You've got a girl wrapped up in garbage bags right beside the door. You have to get in that car.
Toilet, I know that. Like, I didn't... When I see that, what happened if Tori didn't come with us? I 100% know that.
Terry, listen to me for a second, okay? I don't know why you don't want to tell me. That you need to tell me the truth about where Tori ended up.
I am.
She didn't stay in that field. She didn't.
Yes, she did. I'm not, like... Her legs were, like... Kind of, like, not sprawled, just... Like... I don't know how to describe them. Like, I just... Like... Similar to, like, the fetal position, like...
Was she still alive when you saw her like that?
Yeah, like, she's still moving. Okay.
Was she talking?
Yeah, no, like, I could hear moaning, that was it. I couldn't look long, like, I looked...
So with Terry Lynn's confession, police were able to arrest Michael. On July 19th, Tori's body was found in a heavily wooded area. She had nothing on from the waist down and was still in the Hannah Montana shirt she had worn to school on the morning that she disappeared. No. Her lower half was significantly decomposed. During an autopsy, it was determined that she had suffered a beating which caused lacerations to her liver and 16 broken ribs, and her eventual death was a result of repeated blows to the head with a claw hammer. So she lived through the laceration to her liver and those ribs broken, 16 of them.
The lacerations were from the hammer?
Lacerations. I don't know if it was from the hammer, I didn't say. But she died by being hit in the head with a hammer. To avoid going to trial, Terry Lynn pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and was given a life sentence with a chance of parole after 25 years. This plea was taken after, in a subsequent interview, Terry Lynn admitted that she had kicked Tori repeatedly. So in that original interview we just listened to where she said, I wasn't near her, I didn't see anything, that was not true. She was also.
But this was after the fact of her sentencing where she came clean? Like, she got sentenced
to... No, this is this plea was taken after, in a subsequent interview, so a previous interview, Terry Lynn admitted that she kicked Tori repeatedly. So because she admitted that, that's how she got the life sentence with the 25 years. Michael's trial began on March 5th, 2012, when he was facing charges of kidnapping and first-degree murder. The trial lasted until May 11th, and he was found guilty on all charges. Michael was given a life sentence with no chance of parole for 25 years, which still to me sounds like with a chance of parole after 25 years.
I feel like anything involving a child, death.
No, if you know, but in the prison system, if you do anything to a child, they will make sure that's the case.
Yeah, prisoners seem to take that matter into their own hands. Yes,
absolutely they do. They do not take kindly to anything involving doing something to your mother or doing something to children. They take that personally.
Yeah, I didn't like that case.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great.
And it totally caught me off guard, too. And why... I mean, I guess because she had bought drugs from that woman one time, it didn't automatically click while watching that video, like, oh, I've seen this woman.
Well, they were acquaintances. She did buy drugs from her at one point, but she didn't know her. They were acquaintances.
It's weird that she wouldn't have...
Let me show you the video, the footage, because...
It was bad.
I couldn't even tell that little girl was Tori. The only reason they knew that was Tori was because her clothes matched. I don't know how they were able to see that.
Hold on. Yeah, because if I was that mom, I would be studying that video.
Yeah, let me see. Okay, this is the video.
It was from around Tori's school, and the footage revealed something hair-raising. There Tori was, outside her school, walking alongside an unknown woman in a white coat.
Description of Victoria and the clothing descriptors provided for her.
So, I have no fucking idea how they knew that was Tori.
I agree.
Yeah, so completely understandable that she would not recognize who that woman was.
Yeah, that was it, though. Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah, no, but when I first started looking into the story, I was 100% convinced the mother had done it. I was like, yep, mom did it. Mom took her kid, didn't want... I don't know why. Maybe it was financial struggles and she needed one less mouth to feed. I don't know, but I was very much on the stance that her mother had done it. Which the entire public was on the stance that her mother had done it, and she did not.
I still find it very...
Like I said, people react differently to things, and you can't ever imagine how you're going to react to something until you're in their shoes, so... Whereas I would have a completely different reaction, I cannot state that her reaction is one way or the other.
I'm telling you right now, my first concern wouldn't be my hair color, but that's just...
It was not her first concern. That was in an interview probably months after she was gone.
I'm going to look up these dates, okay? Because I don't believe it.
You mean to tell me you wouldn't go get your nails done?
Fuck no! Dude, if my kid's been missing... I wouldn't even want to go to work, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know. You can't put yourself in their positions. And this is a prime example of why you can't do that. I mean, she was vilified by the public, and she actually had nothing to do with it.
I think that she was just... I don't like her.
Any other thoughts besides you not liking the mother?
I'm glad the father left her when he did.
That's all.
I don't want to comment on the child. That's... Everybody can agree that's a horrible death. And I don't want to think about it anymore. And
Well, she got justice, so... Well, as much justice as you can possibly get, I guess.
That's just crazy. The one day where they decide to go kidnap a child, it's the one day where the son didn't
wait for her. Right? You know what I mean? Like the coincidence of that.
There's just a lot of things that just either is hella coincidental or sketch.
Yeah, but they waited for the first girl that they saw come out, and
she also just happened waiting. I mean, I guess 2 hours isn't horrible.
I don't think that the 2.5 hours is terrible because you have to canvas, make sure none of her friends. I get
there's just no harm in doing that first than making the calls.
There isn't, but there are a lot of people who don't want to seem, I don't know what the word is, but you want to check all the avenues first before you get police involved because you don't want to feel like you're taking their time for something that isn't.
I guess it's like a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of a situation where they could, you could call them and tell them, well, have you tried this, this, and this before calling us? Yeah. But
which is typically what the police would do. But I don't know. I feel like I would have.
Because don't you have to actually wait like a whole 24 hours before you can report a child missing or something like that?
I don't think so anymore. I don't think that's the case anymore because the first 8 hours
are so crucial.
Are so crucial for children. So I think they've done away with that.
The 24 hours is for adults.
Yeah. Because for children, it's very much, you gotta be on the ball. I mean, she was only alive for however long it took to drive to that place and then her death. So I don't know. Also, I mean, she...
And Michael didn't speak about this at all? Like, there's no...
I couldn't find anything. Well, not true. There was an interview with him on here, but I took it out because it was hard... Oh, no. I took it out because he was bawling, crying in a corner, and he didn't actually say anything. The police interview was just talking.
Oh, so he's just crying because he got caught?
Yeah, he was just crying in a corner. With, like, a light-ass blanket over him. It was very odd.
Yeah, I don't like that case.
Yeah.
It's a horrible one.
Well, thank you for listening to the Victoria Stafford case on Twisted Truth, a true crime podcast.
Hosted by
Emily
and Alyssa.
Or if there's a true crime case you wish to hear, email us at twistedtruthatcp@gmail.com. Until next time, stay curious, stay vigilant,
and never underestimate the power of the truth.